Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 7, verses 40 through 53. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John the 7th chapter. When the people heard these words of Jesus, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" But they replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." Then they went each to his own house. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Back to the Feast of Booths today. We see that Christ does not come to bring peace but a sword. His word divides the people. It demands a decision and a judgment from all that his word touches. It's not to imply that we have the power to choose or to decide for Christ as if we were the powerful ones and his word were some inanimate object, but it's simply to acknowledge what Jesus himself says a few chapters later. "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I've spoken will judge him on the last day." The division here today is largely between the Jewish leaders and the people of Jerusalem, though. That had actually already happened earlier at this same feast, just before our text from Monday. The people of Jerusalem observed that the authorities were seeking to kill Jesus. Remember, they warned Jesus not to go. And yet, when he was there and revealed himself, they did not arrest him or stop him. We heard today that the officers come back empty-handed to their authorities. And the people figured that this must mean that the authorities knew he really was the Christ. Otherwise, they probably would have stopped somebody who was preaching as Jesus was. From the Jewish leaders' perspective, we know that they did understand he was the Christ, but they did not believe it. And they were seeking to lay hands on him, but they did not think that they could do so publicly out in the light. They also were unable to answer Jesus when they were fighting with him, because he is the true light that eclipses all of their dim lights. And truly, above all these reasons, John tells us over and over again, like yesterday, the real reason is that his hour has not yet come. Now, the arguments that they bring against Jesus are not very strong. It's true that the scriptures in Micah show that the Christ comes from David's line. He is to be a shepherd like his ancient father David, to govern his people Israel, and arising out of the little town of Bethlehem. Yet, in the first argument earlier in John, we see that they assert that no one knows where the Christ comes and where he appears from. And to this, Jesus objects that they don't really know where he comes from, because he comes not from Bethlehem or Galilee or anywhere, but from his Father. So before they said the marker of the Christ is he comes from nowhere, here they say the marker of the Christ is that he comes from Bethlehem. And Jesus comes from Galilee. No prophet, no Christ is said to come from there. Well, which is it? No mark or a place to come from. Well, we see in the end that none of these are well-argued objections, and we come to see that there was really something else behind it at the end. We learn this through the defense that's made by the officers and the question that Nicodemus brings. The officers, that means the temple guard, they point back to Jesus' words when they come empty-handed. Listen, no one ever spoke like this man before. You see, this is the mark of the Christ. This is the mark of the prophet that Moses foretold. His famous speech in Deuteronomy 18 says, "To him you must listen, to this prophet who will arise like me." And in fact, anyone who doesn't listen to him, who rejects his words, I will require it of him, Moses foretells. And yet, the chief priests and the Pharisees hold themselves up above Moses, don't they? They dare to say that the crowd, they are unschooled in the law, they don't know the scriptures. The crowd is ignorant. In fact, they say much worse, they say that the crowd is accursed. But the crowd is looking for a prophet. The crowd is looking for the Christ, and they are very concerned with the word and its fulfillment. Nicodemus, who is one of them, who's schooled in the law, he also is concerned about that word and what it says about the Christ and the Lord's prophet. He says that the law requires a hearing for judgment. These are the very next statements that Moses makes in Deuteronomy 18. After telling Israel to watch for the prophet like him, he gives out the ways that you test a prophet. Now, perhaps if the rulers of Jerusalem had held such a hearing, Jesus would have told them everything that Matthew and Luke's gospel relate to us, what John's gospel is not so concerned with, the origins of the Christ according to the flesh, that he is indeed born in Bethlehem in the house and lineage of David. But no, that doesn't happen. We see what the real situation is here with their final reply. Nicodemus, I thought you were one of us. But now I see you must be from Galilee too. I mean, such a veiled, lame slur, isn't it? This is not a serious argument about what the Bible has to say. This is an objection of rivalry and power, as even Pilate can see in the end. They wish themselves to be the experts. They want the scriptures, the Bible, to take a back seat to them. And in this objection, they not only sideline the clarity of the scriptures by making themselves mediators, you can't read the Bible, that's our job. They also sideline God's prophet and Christ altogether. I mean, what could a prophet could ever arise who would pass such a false muster as they've given? What Christ could ever arise who can be both from nowhere and from Bethlehem? Well, except, of course, if he were the incarnate Word. Jesus comes from Galilee in this sense. He passes through it. He dwells in Nazareth from a time. He works from Capernaum. And there are plenty of prophecies about Galilee of the Gentiles seeing a great light. If you want to believe the scriptures, that is. But the purpose of this passage through Galilee is to show that our Lord is Christ, not just for a small group of authorities, not even for Israel only, but for all people who believe in his name, to all who don't reject his word, but are glad to hear it and to grow into its light. To the rulers of Israel, though, he's outside. And therefore, he must be cast out yet again, and in due time, they'll get up the courage to try it. This is where we live, my fellow Christians. As Hebrews says, we are outside the camp. We are outside the walls with Christ. And we hear his word, and we judge it to be true. There are many authorities who will oppose it in our time just as in his. There are many people who will try to tell us that we can't read the Bible and understand it, and we can't rest on what the Scriptures say alone. Nevertheless, you know better. The Holy Spirit has called and enlightened you by the gospel, by those very Scriptures, so that you also hear a word that is like no other. And in doing so, far better than any rabbi, far better than any of the leaders of Israel to whom all of the oracles had been given, you honor Moses. You honor David. You honor all of the prophets because you're listening for the one that they were always talking about. His word is the sure lamp, and it reveals Jesus of Nazareth to be the Christ. So let us then listen very diligently to his hour in the week to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.